Realtor.com is making a stand for buyer representation, and you can too. Join Realtor.com in sharing the list of 111 things buyer's agents do. Visit Realtor.com/buyer agent toolkit to help spread the word. Buyer agents are essential.
Back in 2013, we just did your traditional 70-30 model, and we found out that real quick, in about 5 years, we're the industry trainer, meaning that we were getting people scaled up, they were doing well, and then we'd have another company come pick us off. And about 2018, we decided I really wanted to be the 100% commission transaction fee-based model, and that way that there's flexibility with our agents and our consumers on commission and all that good stuff. So we figured it out and we started in 2020. So we're 100% commission transaction fee-based model. And then you're 100% commission after a certain amount of transactions. And then we have team models as well.
Welcome to the Real Trending Podcast, where your host, Tracy Velt, Senior Director of Data and Content, interviews the brightest minds in real estate. Each week, brokerage leaders, top agents, team leaders, and industry experts join Tracy to share trends, secrets to success, and lessons they've learned navigating this ever-changing industry.
Today, I'm interviewing Jerry Holden. He is the CEO of THA Brands. It's a transaction fee brokerage that also includes mortgage, title, coaching, relocation, and some other services. So Jerry is a former professional baseball player and a staunch Ohio State University graduate. He started as a sales agent in North Central Ohio and decided to transition into brokerage. Jerry and I talk a lot about the risk that you take as a sales associate starting your own brokerage. And, you know, he actually transitioned from a 70-30 model to the transaction fee model. And then he owns his own mortgage brokerage as well. So we talk a little bit about the structure of those. He also talks a lot about how his professional baseball career, really the discipline and the skills that he learned in that really transferred well to being an entrepreneur. One of the things I love about talking to brokers such as Jerry is just learning about all the challenges in building a new company and growing it. And we get into quite a few of his challenges and how he is trying to overcome them through the process. So I think there's a lot to learn in this. Even if you're an established broker, it's always interesting to hear how other brokers are running their recruiting and their business. So enjoy. So Jerry, thanks for joining Real Trending today.
Thank you, Tracy, for having me. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, so you had contacted me and you told me a little bit about your compensation model, your business model. So why don't we just start with that? Because I have to admit, I had never heard of your company before. So I was really interested in learning more. So tell me a little bit about where you operate and what your how you came to deciding on the brokerage and the model.
Yes. Back in 2013, we hung our shingle and we began the whole agency, and we were just your traditional 70-30 model, bricks and mortar. And we found out that real quick, in about 5 years, we're the industry trainer, meaning that we were getting people scaled up, they were doing well, and then we'd have another company come pick us off. And so about 2018, we decided, you know what, let's look at a different model. Let's pivot a little bit. And we decided to but I wanted to make sure that I had all the bells and whistles that the big boys have, traditional real estate brokerages, not necessarily about bricks and mortar. I really wanted to be the 100% commission transaction fee based model, which will back into one of the questions that we have later on. But, and that way that, there's flexibility with our agents and our consumers on, commission and all that good stuff. So, we figured it out and we started in 2020. So we're 100% commission transaction fee-based model. And then you're 100% commission after a certain amount of transactions. And then we have, that's for individual agents, and we have team models as well.
Okay. And so tell me how many agents you have and where your geographic footprint is.
So our company has one corporate office in each state, meaning we have one in Ohio, we have one in West Virginia, we have one in Pennsylvania, We don't have one in Maryland, but that is because you don't need one in Maryland because you get it for free through Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania. Then we have agents that have teams and they have their own offices throughout the state of Ohio, West Virginia as well. And we kind of have agents in all of your metropolitan areas throughout Ohio and then West Virginia.
And what did you see when you did make that transition? Did you have agents who stayed because of that? Or, you know, tell me what that transition was like, because changing models can be very difficult for a broker. Obviously, with a smaller brokerage, it's a little easier. But what was the transition like?
The transition was, we found out, of course, retention. Our retention was phenomenal. We've had great retention since 2020. And if we lose any agents, it's not of any significance, meaning that, like, not big producers, but the agents that we do lose are pretty much, they're just returning their license to the state and getting out of the business. Our agent growth has risen. But we also had our mortgage and title back before we even went to the 100% commission transaction fee-based model. So that helped with the transition before it became scalable.
Okay. And so you told me that you kind of have a white label boutique brand, and you kind of took the best of several different models to build yours. So tell me a little bit about scaling that. You had said you want to be debt-free, no PE. So tell me a little bit about your growth plan and the way you're doing it.
Yeah. So, we like to have the flexibility to have all of our agents be able to brand themselves, teams, independent brokers that want to come to our company. We love to have that flexibility to do that. With that, has allowed us to grow. You know, we're not the biggest in the country, but, you know, we're on the, I would say, on the ground floor of that. And I wouldn't say I'm necessarily against PE money but it is nice being debt free. I'm looking for the right opportunity. The first and foremost, that's in my, is the North Star, is our customers and our agents. And we want to, make sure that we're doing everything to keep them as a North Star, and then, move forward on driving, what we have to offer them, support, technology, services, and not taking away the agent and the customer being first.
Yeah. And in order to do that kind of white label, you really have to have a good back end and services. So tell me a little bit about your tech platform, and then, what your differentiator really is for your company.
Yeah, well, and that's one thing that I believe we have a few differentiators of our company, and the back end really is. And I will say, my team that we have, I mean, we could onboard 1,000 agents, no issue. We have some proprietary technology that we built ourselves with our training and onboarding. And we also pay our agents to train, which is unusual. I don't know any other real estate company that I've researched anyways that pays their agents to train and onboard. It's not, a large sum of money, but we do pay them because we found out that their retention rate of the material that they go through and their success is accelerated if we pay them to train and go through a process. So that's one differentiator. The other differentiator is I believe in training and coaching, as I've already mentioned, and we hired a nationally recognized real estate coach that speaks at all the big events, and Sherry Johnson coaching and training. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that or not, but I'm giving her a plug in. She has been very good for all of our agents as they join in every couple weeks with our company and gets trained. And then our third one is a unique situation that we have is a relocation company that we're the preferred partner with, where we have agents and where we operate. And where our footprint allowed, and that's Global Mobility Solutions. And it happens to be my chairman of my board, is the one of the founders and owners of that real estate relocation company. It's all C-suite execs, which, how's that a differentiator? Well, it allows me to recruit higher end, high volume agents that perform at a high level. And it gets them an opportunity to another stream of revenue that they're not getting, that they may get here in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get into some of those a little bit later. So I want to talk to you, just as you were building the company, what did you find to be your biggest challenges?
nobody believing me. And they're like 100% commission transaction fee based model. That's not true. And, you know, I'm not going to get that. You know, who are you? You know, who is THA? Who's the brands? Never heard of it. So of course, inside my own marketplace where I live and I grew up, people know who we are, but, in, you know, Wheeling, West Virginia, you know, at one point in time, or Marietta or Cincinnati, people didn't know who we were. And so that was the toughest challenge, and understanding that, you know, we are a true 100% commission transaction fee based model.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things I see with a low fee or transaction fee model is that recruiting, you have the types that just recruit everyone to get as many people in, but really with a transaction fee model, you're looking for productivity. And so let's talk a little bit more about your coaching program, because that seems to be where you're boosting that agent productivity to be able to afford some of the other, you know, the services you offer. And then we'll talk about your other affiliated services too. So,
yeah. So the coaching, I think, has definitely helped. We have, until recent, we had mostly local agents that were our top producing agents in our company. And this year we had an agent that is 2.5 hours away. That's our top producing agent that's been in the business for a couple years, but all of a sudden their growth, I do believe, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was like 184% growth. And I attribute that to, of course, hard work by that agent, but also the seamlessness that we have on our back end that allows them just to not focus on the small details on the back end or the intricacies of figuring out this or that. We take care of that for them, and then they can just go out there and worry about operating. And then the coaching on top of that, there's a variety of things I can go into that I don't want to bore you to tears with, but with coaching, you really do, if you pay attention to it and you really work on implementing and executing it, it does increase your transaction growth.
Yeah. And you had mentioned, I want to go back to your challenge, because I should have followed up with, like, how did you overcome that? Or how are you overcoming that lack of name recognition or that people don't believe you?
Boots on the ground is the biggest thing. Is I try to get in front of as many people as possible. Number two is when we first got our first agent to come over in an area that was 3 hours away from our hometown, you know, they took a chance. They came and met with me numerous times at a Bob Evans. They made the jump, and then all of a sudden other people asked. And then all of a sudden it took a while, and it's still taking a while, but people in that area are like, you know, is it really working? Is it really working? And then, so now they're starting to come over, and we're really growing in that certain location.
Yeah. And the other thing is, when you talked about paying your agents to train, so you have a coach, a national coach who maybe doesn't do as much one-on-one work, I assume, and does more.
So yes and no. You asked me about this in our previous conversation. And we do have a couple of different events where it's one-on-one coaching, but then like today we have, I actually have a meeting with Sherry Johnson today with two of my agents. And then we do like team mastermind workshops, which is in person, where people are traveling great distances to come to get in front of Sherry Johnson to help work on scaling their business with their teams. That's all the team leaders. So we do that in person, but then we also do the Zooms with the every other week coaching.
. 2024 is the year to act, to make bold moves, tell better stories, and build brands that endure. At the 1000-Watt Brand and Marketing Summit, we're putting real estate experts like you in a room with some of the greatest marketing minds around, so you can turn your big ideas into action. Join us in Dallas, June 25th through the 27th, for a real estate event designed for doers. Get your tickets at 1000watt.net/summit. That's 1000watt.net/summit. Let's talk about paying your agents to train, because I do think that, you know, there's always the referral fee for, you know, mentoring an agent or something like that. But talk to me about what that looks like? And do you have specific agents you choose to do it? Tell me about that process and what it looks like.
So we actually have a staff, W-2 employees. We have a director of training and agent development on top of another layer through Sherry Johnson. Like, it's not Sherry Johnson, it's part of my staff. And their whole job is to connect with the agents and especially new agents and help them be onboarded, trained in our proprietary software. And so once they get through that software and that training and the onboarding, then they actually pay money up front to us. And then we deposit that. Then when they get through the process, they get a certificate, and then we take them, we give them back their money and then pay them on top of that. We double their money. And so they really enjoyed that. And it's increased, you know, I don't know the percentages, but it's big.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. How do you manage accountability with that?
With the agents going through it. So Brittany, who's takes care of the training and age development, she is constantly connecting with these agents, making sure they're getting through it, make sure they're answering all the questions, and, you know, taking care of all those necessary items to make sure that they're taken care of.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I think with training, accountability is a difficult thing to kind of get a grasp on.
Well, she also, she meets with agents 30 minutes a day on a lot of times, like different agents. Not everybody wants or needs the accountability, but there's a lot of agents in this area that say, you know what, I know what to do, but I need to talk to somebody about it. And I can tell you that on a regular basis, she's meeting with agents for 10, 15, 30 minutes, giving them items to do. And then the following week, they have a meeting set up at certain times and they follow up on that to, you know, be accountable. You know, did you make your phone calls? Did you do an open house? You know, did you follow up? You know, how many leads did you get this week? You know, because it's all ultimately boils down to, you know, 50 real estate conversations turn into one transaction. Well, if you want to do 20 transactions, well, you do the math.
Yeah. And obviously, especially with a transaction fee brokerage, diversifying your income streams is really, really important. And you said you have mortgage and title, and then we'll go into relocation after that. But tell me, how are your mortgage and title companies set up? Tell me a little bit about how they work.
So we own the mortgage, which you see the sign behind me, and that we have five loan officers. We have a director of ops. They do not work or operate here in Mansfield, Ohio. And their job is to solely go out and connect with our agents and other agents from other real estate companies, which we do quite a bit of business with them. One of the differentiators with our mortgage company, why we capture business, is we don't charge lender fees. We don't charge underwriting, loan origination, or processing fees. We're a mortgage broker, not a banker. And so with that said, we're saving our customers $2,000 to $3,000 per transaction compared to our competitors. So that's a pretty easy sell when we're working with our agents or other companies' agents. That's a good one. And then title company in Ohio, unlike Florida, a real estate broker cannot own 100% of the title company. So I own, you know, well, THA Brands owns 49.9% of our title company, just like it's a joint venture. That's state law with the Department of Insurance.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a huge, you know, an investment to own, to be a mortgage broker and to own your mortgage company. What prompted you to make that decision as opposed to a JV or some other partnership?
Well, I mean, I saw the opportunity as an individual agent. I did quite a few transactions, and then I was sending all the business to certain people. And I saw the chemistry that when you work with somebody on a daily basis, you know how that person operates. It's kind of like when you play 5-on-5 basketball. You know, the more those guys play together, the more chemistry they have, and they're connected. And as a company try to connect with our agents, we want our loan officer, our title officer, and our agents being able to connect. And then when they send the deal to us, that we're going to work faster, smoother, and give that agent, who's our customer, a better experience. And then ultimately, it's a win-win for everybody. And the speed is getting faster. Our fastest one to date is clear to close with appraisal in 4 days.
That's amazing.
Yes.
And then you also have property management. So how many doors?
We don't do property management, no.
Oh, you don't do that? Okay. Mm-mm, no. Okay.
We did that a long time ago, and that was something that was, we did in Mansfield, Ohio, and just, you know, we had, it was just something that we didn't, you know, like that much.
It's interesting because in this type of market, a lot of brokers are kind of thinking about getting into it. And, you know, it's one of those things where nobody really wants to be in property management because it's a lot of work and a lot of hassle.
It is.
However, it's an income stream, especially in a low inventory market. The problem is just starting it now isn't going to get you that income stream that you want.
No, you really have to have a good housing stock or apartment stock or whatever to make money in that. And you have to have a certain number because otherwise you're just making repairs and your customers, meaning your the people that own the properties, their ROI goes down and that's not good.
And let's talk about your relocation. You have a partnership and I want to talk to you a little bit about what that looks like and then how you're implementing it within your brokerage.
So what happens is to take care of a C-suite executive when they're relocating in any geographical area, the agents have to be a certain qualified agent. And those qualifications are, you have to have so many sales, you have to have so much experience and stuff like that. So that, it's pretty easy just because I've worked with GMS before I even opened my own company, did reloads forever. So when we get a relo, we find out what geographical area it's in. We find out what agent of ours that qualifies in that area. And then we pass that qualification on to the agent. The agent, takes it from there because they know the process because we went through that training before with them, when the onboarding process happened.
And what percentage of your business comes from relocation?
I would say it's not a big amount. I'm going to throw a number out there that, don't stick this one to it, but I'm going to say it's probably around 10%. It's not a lot because we're in Ohio, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania, and there's realtors here for sure. But it's not like we're down in Alabama, Florida, Texas, Georgia, where there's a lot more realtors. The Carolinas.
And what does growth look like for you? Are you looking at expanding into some other new states? Are you just looking to expand within the states that you're already in? What is your focus right now? Just agents or expansion?
I would say that a little bit of both. We're growing in Ohio, that's for sure. We're getting more phone calls from other real estate brokers that are, what are you doing? How do I do that kind of thing? Teams and agents, high producing agents, just because we're starting to get more traction. We are looking at other opportunities in some other states, but we're gonna continue to grow in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Maryland. But then there's some southern states that we're also looking at that have some opportunities there just because of synergies that we already have here.
And what does your recruiting look like? Do you have a recruiter? And tell me who your ideal agent is.
So the all agents are my ideal agent. We have a software that we use. We have every single real estate agent's name, number, email across all states, and then we look at agents in different markets. We look for different agents. And I would say that all agents, no matter what their sales are, we look at because we don't want to leave a stone unturned because, there's a lot of agents that are doing a few deals a year, but maybe they don't have the right support, technology, services, and training. Maybe where they're at, maybe who they're with is a reason, And then we look at your high producing agents and teams and independent brokers on what's going on there. And seeing if there is a way that we can help out and use our services and especially our back end staff that allows us to operate pretty darn efficient for those agents.
Who is actually doing the recruiting? Like, do you have a director of recruiting or
me.
Are you handling
me.
The recruiting?
Me. Okay. I put the boots on the ground. I like to meet with agents because it allows me to stay in the game. It allows me to understand what they're going through, all that kind of good stuff. So.
Are there any new services you're looking to add down the road?
I would say insurance is one of them, and then also I've owned a construction company for about as long as I've been in real estate, and Scaling that through Ohio is one thing that we're doing. I don't know how far we'll go outside of Ohio, but that's a very interesting business line that we're in, and we like it. I understand it. I know it. I breathe it. So that's one that I look at growing quite a bit too.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I want to talk about the brokerage industry in general. There's a lot going on right now, from low inventory to the commission lawsuits and everything else. Where do you see the most opportunity for brokers today?
Build more homes, and partner with a builder if you're not, and take some risk there, because there's, I kind of go into this question about inventory you had, and I try to read a lot with the experts in Fidelity and all the pro builders out there that are out there, and they mentioned 2029, 2030, they is when they feel the market will be balanced. Well, every market is isolated, in my opinion. Columbus, Ohio is different than Cleveland and Cincinnati and Mansfield. Some areas are overbuilt, some are underbuilt, and some are just right. So figure out what your marketplace is, and everybody's doing studies right now, so you know how much inventory needs to be built in every market, so build it, and they will come. You build it, and they will come, and it will sell.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you your aha moment, but before I do that, I want to know, what is the best business move you think you've made in your career so far?
I'm going to say opening my business for sure in 2013, and being able to help guide agents and help them go and sell a lot of homes and impact people's lives and change people's lives moving from here to the other. There's a lot of great stories that I've had, listening to all my agents, and that's the best, money is money, but I really like to hear from my agents what they're doing and how they're impacting lives.
Yeah. So as a professional baseball player, tell me a little bit about your career in baseball and how that really has translated into business.
When my first opportunity to go see a college coach was in Alabama, and I walked in the coach's office, and he had a sign on his wall that said, "I hate to lose more than I love to win." And I've kind of lived by that mentality the whole time. So, I'm highly competitive. So that's definitely helped. I like to compete. I don't care what it is. And, we're friends off the field for sure. But when we're competing, we're going to compete. So that's definitely helped, my career in every facet.
Yeah. And you played at Ohio State, correct?
No, I did not play at Ohio State. I actually went to Ohio State after my, career was over with. I just went, I played down south, at a college down in Florida. And then, I played at Ashland University for 1 year before I signed.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to make it in baseball. I have a couple of my son's friends who tried, and, they got drafted. But they're both out of it already, and they're 29 years old.
So. Yes. Well, I didn't make it to the big leagues either. So I was a minor league baseball player, and it's tough. It's, I unfortunately had an injury, but I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah, but it's interesting how sports kind of translates into entrepreneurship as well. I feel like it's, the people that I know who were professional athletes, whether they made it for a couple of years or didn't make it at all, they translate those skills or that discipline into a career. And usually the career is run by them, did you find that it was a kind of an easy transition because of the discipline and because of what you learned in professional sports or in college sports?
Well, I am pretty structured and disciplined. I came from, I live here in Mansfield, Ohio, and why me? Why would it be, a guy from Mansfield, Ohio be able to play professional baseball or minor league baseball or collegiate baseball? And I just felt I felt if I worked harder than everybody else, that something good would happen. And I'm a true believer in hard work creates luck. There is no luck. It's hard work creates it. And so I just work harder than everybody else. I still get up every morning, 5 o'clock. I listen to your podcast. As I exercise in the morning or any podcast after that. And I think that continues into the rest of my day and the work ethic that it's, you come in early and you stay late. And that's an athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get people calling me all the time about the podcast. And what I really find fascinating is just interviewing people like you about your growing company and how you're building it and how you're structuring it as you go along. And there are always going to be, I think I listened to a podcast the other day that talked about how failure is your biggest success, that anytime you fail, that is your biggest success. Yeah. And so I want to talk to you, not necessarily about failure, but about your kind of aha moment where you felt like, oh, I've got to pivot. This isn't working. Or, I have this idea. It's going to be a huge risk, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, so I'm a true believer. You can't appreciate success until you've experienced failure. Mm-hmm. And with that, you probably never heard of this, but it's called Epcon Communities. They're okay. A condominium franchise. And mm-hmm. you can buy them and they help you build them. So I ended up becoming a broker in the state of Alabama and built mm-hmm. a Epcon franchise development in Dothan, Alabama, 118 condos. I built them in 3 years and sold them. And I had to be a broker down there. And I was talking to my father. I was also talking to a local businessman that said, you need to start your own real estate company. And he said, you need to put your name on it. And so when I came back to Ohio from doing all that and the local broker that I was with didn't want to open another office, I decided to open my own office and hang my own shingle and go from there. And so that's kind of where it all began.
Okay, great. Best leadership advice that you've ever gotten?
So Brian Schuchter, the chairman of my board, has given me endless. We're lucky to be such a small boutique brokerage and have such an icon in the real estate industry mm-hmm. as him as my chairman of my board. But one is back in 2008, 2009, I was with my FA down at Mount Vernon Nazarene University. Mm-hmm. And she took me to a leadership conference. And there was it was an auditorium. It was a live leadership conference, but it was in the auditorium and it was down in Atlanta, Georgia. And there was a guy by the name of Dan Cathy. Dan Cathy was, they were having a discussion. They were having a board meeting. And he was in that board meeting and stating, hey, you know what, Boston market is mm-hmm. coming into all of our locations and what should we do to stop them? How do we get them penetrating? How we gain market share? Kind of all that stuff. And they gave all their, people stood up or people gave mm-hmm. their comments. And then one guy said, you know what, or one board member said, we need to start opening a whole bunch of Chick-fil-A's here, saturate the market. And he stopped and he goes, no. And he stood up and he goes, you know what? He goes, we need to get better. He goes, if we get better, he goes, the consumers will demand that we get bigger. And so that's when I say customers, I'm thinking agents. The mm-hmm. agents will demand, if I get better, the agents will demand that our company gets bigger. And so that leadership advice that he gave back in 2009, I think it was 2008, is something that stood with me forever. So if I get better, the consumers will ultimately demand that I get bigger.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that advice. My final question is, who's your Super Bowl pick?
You know what? just because my little girl is a Swiftie, I'm gonna have to say the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't really have any skin in this game after Buffalo was out. I don't really care, but I guess I'd go with Kansas City too, just because I like Patrick Mahomes and I love Taylor Swift. So.
Yes. My daughter's a Swiftie and of course I was hoping the Cleveland Browns and Joe Flacco would come through. Unfortunately that didn't happen, but so if I had to put money on it, I'd probably have to do the Chiefs.
Well, great. Well, Jerry, thanks so much for joining Real Trending. We really appreciate all your insights.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Best of luck to you and your company too.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to Real Trending. If you haven't already, we'd love it if you'd take a minute to rate the show or leave a comment. And we will see you next week with more news and insights.